Hi, everybody. Bob Claster here, and I'm your host for Funny Stuff, half an hour of comedy presented every Friday night here on KCRW. And this is our New Year's special. Today, my special guest is a close personal friend of Deirdre O'Donoghue, Mr. Harry Shearer, KCRW's own Harry Shearer, I'm glad to say. And we will be listening to the best, hopefully the best, of the alternative simulcasts that were done by Harry's group, The Credibility Gap, over the KMET, basically, Harry?
Over KMET, yes. Basically and solely.
And these were done... were they done in conjunction with a television station?
We were sitting right underneath the KTTV booth where the official television version of the Rose Parade was originating. It was at the corner of Orange Grove and Colorado Boulevards, and we sat down providing an alternate audio track for that video coverage.
Well, before we get down, I mean, there's a lot to talk about this, and there's also a lot of your things to plug. But before we get down to business, there is the one question that I know you must be tired of being asked, but, you know, we do have to get it out of the way.
Okay, yes, I am Jewish.
No, we do have to get this out of the way. I know you've all gone on to individual successes, and I realize that, the Secretary General of the United Nations has talked to you about it, and that Sid Bernstein has put up a lot of money. But tell me, is the credibility gap going to be getting back together again?
I don't think there's enough money in the world, Bob. No, there are no plans for it, and there's no need for it, really. So, without plans nor need, with neither plans nor need, I don't think so.
Well, as the maven of comedy records here at KCRW, I must say that I like the records you guys made. I think they probably came out at the wrong time or something to catch on, but I like them, and I've played them. And
I think the hole was in the wrong place. It was part of the problem. Oh, I don't know. We had a good time, and in the fullness of time, I have no complaints. We had a ball. We had a B-A-double-L doing that stuff.
Well, let's listen to a little bit of this. What does this begin with here?
The Rose Parade programs on KMET always began with a rousing sort of thing to get people out of their hangovers in the morning, a Rose Parade theme, which was sung by the three of us in our inimitable style.
And it sounds somewhat like this.
Oh, it's the Rose Parade. Wouldn't you know it? The Rose Parade. And we'll radio it. The streets are cleared. The flowers are fun.
And the float from Baskin Robbins is beginning to run.
Oh, it's the Rose Parade. The crowd is excited. The Rose Parade. And you weren't invited. So sit in your chair. Just listen and stare. There's nothing else to do. So here's the Rose Parade.
Good morning. If you're watching television, you can see that the parade indeed has been rained out. So from here, we'll say...
We're running footage of last year's parade. Hopefully, we have the whole thing.
Actually, the parade hasn't been rained out. No. It was going to be a very, very serious problem if it had been, because the rest of the year in Pasadena is all filled up, so they would have had a double-header parade next year.
And they would have had to pay us anyway.
And nobody likes that.
A twi-night double-header parade.
But anyway, we'd like to say good morning, and we'd like to take you, if we could, a little background information, what we refer to as a mini-documentary of the Rose Parade. I'm sure you've seen just about enough maxi-documentaries.
It's impossible to see the parade without having this kind of background on it. So now
the history.
The history. I was going to say that. Thank you, Dave.
Grim clouds of foreboding hovered over the San Gabriel Valley in the year of 1890. Two stock market panics had already gripped the country in the preceding quarter century. As Churchill once observed, perhaps the most painful place to be gripped. Two men huddled in the turret of a small U-boat moored to the corner of Fair Oaks Avenue and Colorado Boulevard in a community wrecked by anonymity, which some called Pasadena. The men were Charles Holder and R.K. Rollin. They had conceived an ingenious plan whereby people would be compelled to pass down the middle of the boulevard in great number, riding upon flowered vehicles. Due to their superior organization, spearheaded by the Rose Marshals, the so-called Pink Shirts, the Rollin Holder Plan, codenamed Tournament of Roses, soon let loose a prairie fire of good feeling. In 100 guarded offices, behind 78 closed doors, the plenipotentiaries of a score of neighboring municipalities hung their heads. Then, suddenly, pooch. With the speed of a twin razor blade, the Tournament of Roses operation had outflanked the rapidly dwindling forces of the underground, the so-called undershirts. In the mid-1920s, foreign states and nations began sending emissaries in the form of flowered vehicles to pay court to this new world power. Here is Eva Braun.
I do not recall ever having been in Pasadena. No, that was Himmler.
The 30s brought prosperity and the illusion of the 40s just ahead. And as the battered century crept past halfway, squadrons of earth movers, working according to a plan known only to residents within a 100-mile radius, constructed a monumental bowl whose sole purpose was to house a football game and monthly swap meet. The parade, as General Hershey Bar once put it, would have been twice the success had it been half the fuss. History teaches us that history is no teacher. So, a parade born in mystery, whelped in the conflict of civic allegiances and flowered vehicles, and weaned on the mush of fiscal oomph, replicates itself in the nation's living rooms year after year. Of the men who went and never returned, it can only be said they got lost.
Well, that's what's behind us. Now let's look ahead.
Maybe it's time we switched away perhaps to our man on the field, Kurt Downey.
He's not with us in the booth this year. Maybe
yes.
You should explain that, Dave.
Kurt usually sits with us in the booth. And this year, we gave him a new challenge. He's going to be hosting the Rose Parade, much like he did with the World Series. So why don't we switch to Kurt now, who's out hosting on the street, watching the parade. Kurt?
What do you mean they got no ice? The judge at the Rose Parade is no different from the referee or the umpire. Everybody thinks he's a bum. If that's true, I'm standing next to the best-looking bum in Pasadena. She's one of the judges of this year's parade and editor-in-chief of Brides Magazine, Miss Barbara Tober. Barbara, what's the one thing you look for in a winning float?
Kurt, it's hard to describe it well. I suppose what I look for is arrangement and organization in floats and in marriage.
Barbara, you ever get tired of looking at flowers?
No, I don't think any woman worth her sex could ever really tire of flowers. But I think it'll be a good 3 or 4 days before I'm not sick of them again.
Well, there's no shortage of them here. And now back to the booze.
As you can probably tell, they're playing quite loud.
I've noticed something very strange. In every band, there's the same kid playing the clarinet.
I noticed, Mike, there are a couple of the girls walking by. You don't usually see it on TV with their hats that had their hair up in curlers. I mean, come on.
Is it true?
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Serious. Yeah.
They're dressed in green and yellow, which I think is like a very harmonic
kind of
look.
Well, Mr. Blackwell, how do you feel about a woman going to a parade, especially if she's marching in it with her helmet on or not, in hair curlers? I mean, is that...
Total tick.
Yes.
Totally ticky.
What about denim?
No, denim is out. I mean, I'm so glad. You know, I don't think you'll see anyone at this home parade in the denim field.
Well, I remember a couple of years ago we had a big denim
parade. Oh, it was everywhere. You would go to Jimmy's, because Jimmy's wasn't open 2 years ago. But if they had
been, I wouldn't go
people
there,
would have been wearing denim in the Jimmy's. I mean, come on.
I'm sorry.
It is. But isn't that a statement in itself, Mr. Blackwell?
Oh, of course.
But it's
what is it? What is it saying?
Yeah.
What are you saying when you wear denim to Jimmy's? I don't want to be here.
Couldn't you be just saying, let's leave?
Well, Harry, why don't you tell us a little bit about some of the other people that we've been listening to on this?
David L. Lander and Michael McKean were the other main partners in the Credibility Gap at this time. Richard Beebe was a charter member of the group. And is on this album, now deleted from the catalogs, and not from our memories, though. But mainly it was David and Michael that were doing the parade with me at this point.
And these were done 75 through 79? No.
Yes.
Minus 78.
Minus 78, which we took off for health reasons. And so while they'd be Lenny and Squiggy during the rest of the year and then resume their credibility gap identity on New Year's Day for 3 short hours. And it got harder every year because the Rose Parade officials would hear the broadcast from the previous year, and then they'd try to deny us the right to get clearance to be at the site the next year because they felt we were detracting somehow from that. I think the last couple of years came at resorted to subterfuge, getting us passes as if we were KTTV representatives rather than copping to the fact that we were at KMET.
That's wonderful. Well,
the irony is that the record was put out by a guy who runs a little folk company here in Los Angeles who was in fact a member of the Rose Parade Committee and who wore one of those white coats.
Well, the record company's address here is in Pasadena.
Yeah, and he is in fact one of the guys on that committee and I think tried to keep that secret as long as he could, as the existence of the company and the album.
Okay, what have we got up here now? This is Dave Swartz.
Dave Swartz, who originally who changed his name from Schwartz to Sports, then to Swartz as time went on. And Dave was trying to get an inside story on the parade, on the game, actually, that follows the parade, but we felt that that was part of the spectacle and worth covering.
And the background of Woody Hayes is, of course, that he was being hard to get.
Being very hard to get. He was the coach of Ohio State, which was the team in the Rose Bowl this particular year.
Well, let's listen to it, shall we?
Hello again, everybody. This is Dave Swartz speaking of sports. And on every January 1st of every New Year's time, there's only one sport to speak of, and that's football. Or should it, on New Year's Day, be footballs? Item, history in the making department. Let's remember some of those great Rose Bowls past. 1927. 1934. 1948 and 1958. I could go on and on, but let's flash back up to now. UCLA versus Ohio State, the game the experts said couldn't happen here, but like Hitler's Germany, the game is just hours away. Item, inside scoop stuff, radio edition. Sometimes even I amaze myself. Your reporter has obtained exclusively a hotline phone number to Ohio State football coach Woody, not so Gabby, Hayes. While he plays possum for the sports establishment, he's being a pussycat at the other end of my Dave Swartz exclusophone. Clicker. Item, business expense. One toll call to Ohio State, Ohio, please. Purpose, to find out how the coach of the visiting team feels about his third annual visit to the Roses. Let's dial that oh-so-secret 800 number right now. And from mid-dial, a tip of the Dave Swartz thank you cap to sports insider MJ of Bakersfield, California, for the exclusive rights to Woody's secret number. That's one I owe you, Mickey. This is going to be good, and it's going to be exclusive. The Dave Swartz exclusive phone. This is Woody Hayes.
The number you have dialed.
Yeah. Hello.
7-8-3.
Oh, I see what.
Three.
Wait, just let me get a pen.
2-8.
No, wait.
7.
No, don't give me that.
Has been
don't
changed to.
No.
2.
I've got it. All right.
4.
This pen doesn't
3,
work.
1.
One that works,
9,
please.
5.
People.
5.
All right, go ahead, honey. Shoot. Okay, got the pen. All right, hello? Hello? Okay, we better put Woody Hayes on hold. Put him on hold, will you? He's a busy man, but I'm busy, too. And now let's get back to the celerity gap.
Thank you, Dave. We'll get back to you.
This is the U.S. Marine Corps band.
Oh, yeah. Noisy as hell, and we're ready to shout about it.
Playing something called the Moray Purse.
What?
Hello?
Hello? Yes, hello.
It's a loud mother.
Loud. Very few people, though. Look at that. Probably the smallest loud band or the loudest small band in the country.
Well, I think that's what happens when you get rid of the draft.
I think a small number of Marines is probably louder than a small number of any other human.
Well, their
being.
Slogan is, we're looking for a few good loud men.
That's right.
So they got it. That band, incidentally, is formed each year for the express purpose, it says here, of marching in the Tournament of Roses parade. So when you wonder where your tax dollars are going, you're looking at it.
You know, it's funny. I read a report once that says 85% of any group of Marines you see have been sexually assaulted while in the Corps. Isn't that something?
Well, the Corps is what? What their word for the latrine? Or
no,
what?
That's where they get assaulted, Harry.
Oh, the Huntington Sheraton Hotel here in Pasadena has presented a float entitled The Armchair Athlete, and here to give us his critical viewpoint on it is New York Magazine reviewer John Simon.
Thank you, Harry. In the virtual psalm for decadence, the Huntington Sheraton has mustered a particularly vicious assault on the unsuspecting parade watcher. We view a viewer viewing what is ostensibly a sporting event, the slack Neanderthal features of this bubus americanus, and I find myself wondering if it is too late to renounce my citizenship. This is John Simon back by the moon.
Devastating.
Lucky there wasn't an actress on that float.
Doesn't he enjoy anything?
I would give him a Sudafed, first of all, and clear up that condition before I do anything else. Hey, those of you who want to do amyl nitrates, I'd say this is the time for your first popper, because this is a real pretty float.
Boy.
From the American Honda Motor Company. And this is the only float in the parade without a catalytic converter.
Yeah, sky's the limit. That's part of the balloon weirdness.
Three gigantic hot air balloons sway back and forth through drifting clouds over miniature buildings, houses, and trees. The American Honda Motor Company's the sky's the limit.
What do you think of the light?
A nice statement.
The colors are working with each other there. I know
it's too much pastel.
Is it?
You know, I'm not a technical-minded person. I'm not looking at this on television. But it's too pastel.
But didn't you once say you can't go wrong with pastel?
Yes, but I was talking about separates.
Oh, man.
These are chrysanthemums, calendula, Vanda orchids, my favorites. I think a Vanda orchid in a lapel is such an elegant touch. You can't believe it. Dutch iris, gladiola, carnation roses, and green tea leaves. And those with the balloons, not the real balloons. They had real balloons, too. I want one. Can I get a balloon, do you think?
Yes,
we'll ask them.
It'd be nice.
Okay, I would like
one. Can Blackwell get a balloon?
Because if I go to Jimmy's this afternoon and don't have a balloon, then they will kill me.
They won't let you in.
They won't let me in.
Are you going to work the Mardi Gras this year, Mr. Blackwell?
What do you mean, work?
Well, there was some talk about you being Grand Marshal of the Mardi Gras, just as a taste consultant.
I'm going to go down there. I'm going to... Oh, here's a girl
being arrested. This you won't see on your TV screens. Somebody was actually busted.
That's so
right
sad,
here.
You know? But yeah. If she just had put on a little makeup, I think that wouldn't have happened.
Well, you know, with a crowd of 2 million here, there's always going to be some girl who won't wear makeup.
I know, but you come in New Year's morning, and, I mean, really, you owe it.
She looked like a hangover in a lot of ways.
You owe it to people.
Well, why don't we go out in the field while we have a moment, because I see we're getting signal that Kurt is out there with a very interesting interview.
Kurt is out hosting.
So, Kurt, to you.
Does that mean I'm on, or does that mean ready? Fellas, no World Series is complete without flowers. And the man who's supplying this year's parade with many of their foliage is a college student, 19-year-old Jason Palmer from Culver City, California. Jason, how'd you get into this business?
Kind of accidentally. I was a horticulture student at UC Davis, and somebody told me I could make a lot of money selling flowers in bulk.
What's your actual favorite flower to grow?
Well, I don't do the actual growing anymore. I get them shipped from somebody in Brawley.
A great day for everyone. Back to the booth.
Horses are drooling, and one looks quite upset.
Well, I think that is the case. One of the horses is about to bolt and kill someone.
All right, well, we're very close to them, so...
It could be us.
We should be careful.
Oh, he is drooling.
He is drooling.
He is a nasty,
nasty.
He is in a foul mood.
He needs water.
He is frightened.
Do horses get rabies?
No, but they do get frightened and hysterical.
And that's the drool?
Yes.
Yeah, that's the drool.
And they don't win any prizes by being frightened or hysterical.
The spittle was done in white Vanda orchids.
You know, every year I remark on the same thing. It's amazing how puny the floats look when you're up close. And I think that's part of their charm. Here's the Bank of America picnic float.
It's a giant bike.
From no matter what angle you see this float, it looks like it's going to tip over.
Yeah.
It's a sad...
Whoa, look out!
Well,
no?
It's all caught up in a bunch of branches that it's dragging along with it. I don't know why they let that continue.
And the theme is get the rich off of our backs.
Oh, hi, they're presenting the Royal Court.
Well, you know, you can look at these beautiful girls and only dream about what's in their minds. But on a more realistic level, let's take a glimpse behind the scenes of a queen.
Hail, commoners! A new queen and her court have been chosen and throned. Let's relive in snapshots of dramatized sound Queen Diane Raymaker's Coronation Week 76.
Dear Scrapbook,
What a day. We took our first official picture together as the Queen and her court. What a privilege to stand next to girls as lovely and charming as my court. Lori, Carol, Pam, Sherry, Peggy, and Debbie. Though it was 4 weeks ago, it seems like only 2 weeks ago when the chairman of the Queen and Court Committee talked to a group of us first arrivals. Imagine, he told us to relax. He's the one who could get fired.
Day one.
Applications, applications. Everyone filled out at least one. Some of the girls were so excited, they gave their birth dates as September 25, 1976. That couldn't be right.
Day two.
Scrapbooks of previous courts helped to relieve the tension. After all, those girls survived, and so can we. I mean, who dies in a parade?
Day three.
Of the 695 contenders for the throne, only 26 remain. Gee, I hope they lose.
Day four.
Nervous? Of course not. I always vomit in my sleep.
Day five. Relax!
Said the chairman. But the waiting was such torture. Why young girls should be forced by peer pressure into competing against each other on the basis of looks alone is a reversion to Neanderthal tactics that would make any modern woman feel icky.
Day five, later that night.
Oh, I'm sleepy. Big day tomorrow. I know. I'll get some sleep. Good night.
Day six, the big day.
I still can't believe it. I'm the queen. I know it'll open a lot of doors in my chosen profession, cosmetology. But right now, I'm just happy to be more popular.
A royal scrapbook from Queen Diane. Truly the cream of queens.
All right, while we have a band go by, let's get an update on the Rose Bowl picture.
Yes.
So let's go from our position here to Dave Swartz.
Once again, from the Sportsman's Lounge of the Pasadena Turnpike Lodge, Dave Swartz speaking of sports. Item, Rose Bowl update. This reporter has just successfully placed an exclusive long-distance telephone call to the personal hotline of Ohio State football coach Woody Hayes. Let's talk to Woody now. Hello, Woody. This is Dave.
Mr. Crane with your Ohio State University Athletic Information Bureau report. Headline,
hello.
The PM release, December 31st.
Okay.
Today's headline, Woody says there's no tomorrow.
Woody.
Start Q, there is. End Q, no tomorrow. Time, 12 seconds, at the beat.
Hello, how do you... Oh. This is Dave's Swartz call.
There is no doubt in my mind that UCLA is a different team now than the one we beat in October.
That's
so
right, you're in October.
Not taking it for granted. Woody, it's the only game in town, and as to who's going to be national champion, we'll know tomorrow.
Right, who can...
That's 30 for today, and pre-recorded feed AM tomorrow.
Hello.
This is Lester Green from the OSU News Bureau wishing you a happy holiday.
Happy holiday to you too, Woody. Well, there you have it, sports fans. Woody Hayes calls it for you a toss-up. But like the man in the striped shirt with the whistle say, that's football. Item, off to the game department. I don't know about you fans, but I have tickets in the end zone. This is Dave Swartz, speaking of sports.
Spring Valley. Yeah, must be beautiful there and quiet this time of year with the band out of town.
Okay, that'll
Let's
be enough
it.
Out of you.
Yeah.
We now heard there were going to be floats here.
Come on, move it. Leave your picture with the girl. I'm getting, my temper's getting a little short, fellas. I don't care. Move it, come on.
All right, enough of you.
Let's go.
turning around on us now.
Oh, come on,
go forward.
I thought they were going to go back home for a minute.
They're just standing here making noise.
Slow down the tempo.
Get out of here.
We've seen this.
Play another song at least, please. Anybody know Proud Mary? Proud Mary.
Mustang Sally would be a refreshing change.
Oh, yeah. Mustang Ranch, right?
Must I hear this?
California Parade of Champions is sponsored by the Realtor. What a champion he is. He sells your home and makes a profit and then sells it again, and it gets more expensive, and everybody has the good life.
You always had a way with words, and I'm glad to see that hasn't lost.
It's the same way with words, Dave.
Faced with an empty street with only the promise of Indians to come.
This band is called the Redskins. There are no Indians in this band. Jay Silverheels and his people should be filing charges against this parade.
Oh, this is the Redskin, man. They make so much noise. I wish the Redskins had gotten into some postseason bowl because...
It'd be pretty hard for them to be in a postseason bowl. They're from Tulare High School.
You know, the Redskins marching band motto is, of course, the only good arrangement is a dead arrangement.
Hmm. At 2.5 miles an hour, they're playing.
I think it's about time for a parade to waltz. I think we need a 3-4 parade. Oh,
it is wonderful.
My breath is gone, fellas. My breath is virtually gone.
Well, I'm not surprised.
My metabolism is at a standstill, and I feel sick. I am that impressed.
Ladies and gentlemen, the last entry in the parade.
People are ready to go home.
And, ooh, the city of La Mirada really went cheap this year.
They got an airport limousine.
They have an airport bus coming into your screen. No, we're not going to get a shot of it.
They have a clothing bag hanging up in it to symbolize.
All right, let me describe this for you. It's a Dodge Sportsman or an Econoline, some kind of red and white van.
City of La Mirada.
They didn't cover it with flowers, so it's not an official entry, but that man is just as proud as if he was on a real float.
Made entirely of steel alloy. And glass
and
various kinds.
People seem to be headed towards us in an angry fashion.
A strange, angry rush.
We better get a move on before they start.
This is the crowd scene coming up, and this is where people can get killed. So we'll...
I'm going to take my watch off the table.
Kurt has departed from our booth and is on his way to the Rose Bowl game, but before he goes, we thought we might go to him for some closing thoughts as the host of this year's parade.
You know, a very wise man once said, 2 hours worth of memories can equal a lifetime of regrets. Well, I'm not a philosopher, but I am a sports host. And the memories we've had this morning make me think that the most valuable player in this parade is the audience. Oh, I know they're not made of flowers, but without 2 million people on the streets of Pasadena, these flowers would still be alive. Happy New Year, everybody.
That was the Rose Parade. Didn't you notice the Rose Parade? We've seen all the floaties, we're glad that we stayed. We hope we get paid, but stranger things have happened at the Rose Parade. At the 86th Annual Rose Parade! Yeah!
All right, well, that was the best that time would allow of this record, which is now out of print and unavailable, entitled Floats by the Credibility Gap. Harry?
Yeah.
You with me?
Absolutely right, Bob. I couldn't agree with you more about everything you just said.
Let's get crass here and plug some stuff, shall we? You've got a movie coming out, right?
Michael McKean of the Credibility Gap and I, along with Christopher Guest and Rob Reiner, wrote and performed in a movie called This is Spinal Tap, about a mythical English heavy metal rock band called Spinal Tap. It'll be out... excuse me. That's just to get the exhibitor's attention. It'll be out in March, probably. And it's a funny movie.
Spinal Tap has been heard on KCRW's air on your own program, which is the next thing we have to plug.
Well, I'll plead guilty to that, yeah.
Okay, they had that Christmas record we heard.
Christmas with the Devil. Not actually a record, a promotional cassette.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Just a gift.
Well, it was a gift all of us that heard it.
The gift of ugly music.
Give the gift of ugly music, mm-hmm. The gift that keeps on giving.
The gift that keeps on giving and sometimes takes back.
If it comes back up on you a couple hours later. Yeah, so it's been heard on your program, which is about to move to 9 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, and I couldn't be happier if I was serious. Yeah, it'll be Sunday morning at 9 to 11 on KCRW. And I don't recommend people get up and listen, but I do recommend that they set their cassette machines.
That's what I do,
and
I listen
to it. That's the fairest thing I can ask.
I listen to it in the car. I think it's great fun and allow me to be about the 96th to welcome you to the station.
Thank you.
A credit to your race, Harry. what else have you got to plug? You did the Letterman show.
I did the Letterman Show. It's been on already. People have seen it, enjoyed it, complained about it, whatever.
If Dinah were on, you'd be doing that, right?
Yeah. We'll probably start showing up on MTV as this band pretty soon, doing all sorts of strange things. That doesn't mean that I'm advocating anybody watch MTV, however, but if your kids are watching it and you walk through the room, you know, we might be there.
Anything else to plug here? You have a line of designer menswear coming out or something?
No, I don't. I'm not putting my signature on a make of car or anything like that. Designer Lincoln. Right?
Whoa.
Well, then what do you say we let's hear some theme music, shall we?
You mean for your show?
Absolutely.
My favorite theme on a Friday evening is yours, Bob. I must be totally frank with you.
Well, it sounds exactly like this. And that's going to wrap up this special New Year's edition of Funny Stuff. On behalf of Harry Shearer and myself, I take the liberty of wishing you a wonderful New Year's Eve and a terrific Rose Parade. I know it won't be the same as the ones that we've listened to, but perhaps if you've recorded this program, you can play it back while watching the current parade, and it'll all be the same. We've seen one band, right?
That's right.
You've seen them all.
However, it won't be on the first this year. It'll be on the second, so fair warning.
Okay, is that true?
Yeah.
They don't want
to get the audience stolen away by NFL football, so it's going to be Monday.
Shows what I know. Well, okay, that'll do it. For the next 2 weeks, we will be hearing the best of Funny Stuff, or at least the perhaps least objectionable of Funny Stuff.
Am I on that?
I don't know. I haven't put it together yet. Depends on how much it's worth to you. So for the next 2 weeks, we'll be hearing that. And until then, this is your host, Bob Claster, thanking you for joining me. I needed joining. And reminding you to always keep that sense of humor well exercised, because you never know when you're going to need it. Good night, everybody, and Happy New Year.